It is sweet to trust him, isn't he? And he is trustworthy. If you'll turn to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. It is hot out there today. I think TBT, we need to move to February so we can get the hottest week of the year in the middle of February. I don't know. It seems to work wherever else we put it. Maybe that would be the case. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5, and the Bible says, "And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers." We looked at that. Against adulterers. We looked at that. And today it says, "And against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages." And then it goes on, "The widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." So we're going to look tonight and deal with false swearers and oppressors. False swearers and oppressors. And honestly, the Bible has way more in it than what I'm going to look at tonight concerning these two points. But we are going to get the idea, because I believe this is a vital thing, that Christian people are honest, and that we deal in the truth, that we tell the truth, and that in every dealing that we do, that we operate in the truth and in all honesty and character. So we're going to look at that tonight. Let's pray, and we'll look at the Word of God. Father, I'm thankful to be able to preach, and I'm grateful for all of those that are helping in TBT, but I'm grateful for these that are faithful to be here tonight, knowing that there would be a smaller crowd here in this auditorium tonight, but yet knowing that you have your Word is still to be preached, and knowing that these people are here to hear something from you. God, I pray that you would give me the strength and your power to be able to preach the Word of truth, and God, that we'll apply it to our hearts, and then Father, maybe that through the tape and people listening to it later that couldn't listen tonight, Father, that you would affect many. God, your Word should affect us. We should be ready to respond. We should be ready to hear and allow it to change our lives. And Father, I pray for this and ask God that you would help us to look at these things that you are against, and that we would fall on the side that you're on. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that he is against false swearers, and we're going to get right into that. To swear here is not talking about profanity. Oftentimes we refer to profanity and we refer to that as swearing, and in a way that is under a different definition. This swearing is really, it says, against false swearers. Those that swear something and it is incorrect, it is false, they have no intention of doing it, or they do not have the ability to do what they decided that they would do. So it's not talking about profanity, but rather to state one's intentions in the most solemn manner, often pledging the honor of one's name. Do you remember a day when a person's name had honor to it? And I'll tell you what, how many have just lost that ability to have honor? And our children need to be brought up. And it's not a pride thing to say, "Hey, my children, you're a Batterson. You ought to deal this way. My children, child that's left, you're a Pringle. Someday you'll be somebody else, probably." But you're looking at that and you're saying, "Hey, I have a name. And that name is passed down from me to my father. Hey, I'm a Hofstetter, and I am going to make a solid name for myself and my family. Hey, I am whoever you might be, a Mitchell." You look at it and say, "We are going to make a name that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our name has some honor with it. If we take a job, we're going to do it right, and we're going to deal honestly with everything." So looking at this, it's not always wrong to swear an oath. And we're going to look at this, Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, and we're going to first of all look at the fact that God swore an oath. God swore an oath, and again, it's not profanity. And in this, it says in verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Now, if God swears an oath, is there any chance ever that that is not going to come true? And that is why it is 100% okay for God to swear an oath, because He will fulfill. He has the ability to fulfill what he says, no matter what, under any circumstances, God will come through. And so God, knowing that, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to follow through with this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6. So God there was swearing an oath to Abraham that there would be seed, and that seed, through that seed, would come Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Abraham looks at that and says, God, I have a problem. I'm old, and my wife's old, and we can't have children. And God says, I made the body. You can have, if I say that you're going to have, God can keep his oath. Chapter 6, verse 13 through 16. The Bible says, for when God made promise to Abraham, look at this, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God says, on the honor of my name, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So he says, look, men, oftentimes, you've heard it, they're in a conflict. I promise, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying to you. Or, look, tomorrow, I will come through, I will pay the bill tomorrow, please, just don't harm me today, I promise. And they're swearing an oath. And he says, often men will do this to get out of strife. You ever hear people make promises in order to get out of strife? And they say, look, hey, I'm going to do this to get out of strife. Well, God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise of the immutability of his counsel. If God says it, it's not changing. It is going to come true. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. Isaiah chapter 45. And verse 23. And here the Bible says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So here God is saying, look, the word went out. How many of you have ever said something that you wished you could take back? Oh boy, the word went out, you know, and God says, hey, even what I speak, when it goes out, it can't come back. I'm not going back on my word. Boy, when we look at that concerning salvation, that is great. When we look at that concerning chastisement, that is great. Huh? Little hard to say. Isn't it a great thing when God has enough love for us as a Christian to say, hey, let's get on the right track here? That's a great thing. And, oh, the word of God, as it goes there, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Everything that God promises, everything that God says, it goes out, it's 100% right. He's not taking it back. And you know what? Everything that God wrote in the Word of God is preserved and holy. It's there. He's not taking it back. We can't change it. We have no ability to disagree with it. We can. It does not make it change. God's Word is spoken. It's not changing. It's not going back. Leviticus 19 and verse 13, 19 and verse 12. Leviticus 19 and verse 12. So God, it's fine and perfectly fine for him to swear an oath because he can fulfill it every time. Here, God warns man. Leviticus 19 and verse 12. Man is severely warned not to invoke God's name in a lie. The Bible says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. So if you use God's name, you stand in a courtroom and you put your hand on the Bible and you use God's name and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we'll get into the other part about not swearing at all here in just a minute. But when we say that, and then what phrase do they put on the end of that? So help me God. See, there was a day when if a person claimed the name of God, they lived in the fear of God, understanding, I do not dare go back on that. Now it's just a phrase that everybody says, if they even say it anymore. And God says, look, it's doubly here. I don't want you to swear by my name falsely. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Neither shalt thou profane. So what happens to the name of God if we as a Christian invoke God's name in a promise or an oath that we're swearing to someone? I'm a Christian. You can trust me. What happened right there? You invoked God's name on something that you were going to do. Oh, you'd better come through. You'd better come through. And God gives severe warning against that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God in the Old Testament here, he did not forbid swearing by his name. Deuteronomy 6:13. The Bible says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. In chapter 10 and verse 20. In chapter 10 and verse 20. He says again to the nation of Israel, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. To him, or him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. So there is a time when these people, they were told, look, if you make a promise, you're making this promise because you are a Jew in the New Testament. You are a Christian, and you're making this promise. You know what? Whose name is at stake? And when you make a promise, you need to remember who you serve. And you need to remember who you cleave to. And you need to remember the one that stands behind. And you represent him. Oh, I tell you, we would do well if our ambassadors would go out and properly represent the United States of America. What I fear is that they are out there representing the United States of America. And there's not a lot of good to represent sometimes. And so when they go out there, if our ambassadors say something, we as a country ought to follow through. You know, if somebody says, I'm drawing a line, there ought to be a line. Or don't say it. You have a choice. You don't have to say it. Because somebody's going to test you. Somebody's going to test you. And so we have ambassadors, and those ambassadors ought to tell the truth. Well, we are ambassadors, right, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent him, and in representing him, we ought to tell the truth every single time. Now, Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, he deals with this. Matthew 5, 34 through 37. You know, the Bible, if we'll study a thing out, it doesn't leave us much gray area, does it? It doesn't leave us much to wonder and wander about. It tells us plainly what things go on. Matthew 5, 34 through 37. The Bible says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. What do all these things have in common? They're to be held high and lofty, right? And so he's saying, look, hey, God is high and lofty. Heaven is high and lofty. Jerusalem, as the city that God loves, is high and lofty. He's saying, look, don't swear by any of these things, because he says, I don't want them profaned. I don't want them brought low. And he says, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Okay, verse 36, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. All right? It's not in our power, is it? You know, I one time read that if you take enough copper, you won't get gray hair. I don't know if it's true or not. But the truth be told, Brother Bankson, you can try all you want to get that black hair back. Not happening. Well, unless you dye it. I don't think Brother Bankson is going to dye his hair, do you? Watch, he'll come in next week. We'll say, oh, who's that? We got a visitor. But you look at it, and God says, you don't have power even to change one hair on your head and the color of that hair. And he says, so therefore, don't even swear by your own head. Verse 37 says this, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So God says, look, tell the truth. When you say yes, it means yes. When you say no, it means no. Oh, we've got to be careful what we speak. Because sometimes we speak hastily and we get caught. And it's like, oh, now what do I do? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. We've been there, haven't we? And so he says, look, don't swear. Why is he saying at this point, don't swear? Let me ask you something. Any of you guaranteed to live for another 30 minutes? We're not. We are not guaranteed that. So if you say, I promise or I swear to do this tomorrow, do you have power to fulfill that promise? So if you die, you say, well, it was out of my control. Well, that's why God says don't swear. Because it's not in your control. You can't even change the color of one of your hairs of your head. It's not in your control. So when you say yes, mean yes. And when you say no, mean no. But don't go beyond that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, but above all things, my brethren. So he's quoting Jesus Christ here. Swear not, neither by heaven, nor by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. And then it says this, lest ye fall into condemnation. See, when we swear that we're going to do something, and we maybe due to no power of our own, we are not able to follow through. We have just broken a promise. We have profaned either the name of God or whoever we made the promise based upon, and we fall into condemnation. He said, but I couldn't help it. That's why Jesus said, don't swear. Just don't do it. You say, it's not in my power. So just when you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean yes. Mean no. I'm testing you with my... Now, when you say no, mean no. When you say yes, mean yes. Okay? My brain got a little hot out there on the bus tonight. You've heard the statement, children did it. I know when they did it when I was a kid. You know, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. You know what you're saying when you invoke things like that? You're literally saying, if I don't come through with this, I agree to be killed and have my eye put out. That's a fax. See, and kids think, oh, this is a cute little saying. There's nothing cute about that saying. I've heard it. I said it when I was a kid. Repeating after other people. You know, we are influenced by those around us. And you think about that, you stay away from that. Just mean what you say and say what you mean. And we'll do well. Honesty, honesty. And then Malachi shifts over to from false swearing to oppressing the hireling. Now, this, it fits together because it is both things are dealing with honesty. Against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. We have a vast problem in our country of agreeing to pay a person a price and then trying after the work's done to get it down. If you agreed to the price, you agreed to the price. Afterwards is not the time to bargain. You bargain before. Okay, when you make an agreement, you bargain before. Everyone wants an honest paycheck, whether by the day or the hour or the week. Let's look at Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7 and verse 2. Job chapter 7 and verse 2. The Bible says, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow. Okay, so you've got the person that is working. What is he desiring here? People say the King James is so hard to understand. What's the shadow? Hey, it's the shade, the evening, you know? Hey, it's all of those things. It's when I get to take a little rest out of the hot sun. It's there. And then he says this, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Why do you work? For the fun of it? Hey, I just love to go out and do this. Did you get on at Hobby Lobby? Okay, you got on at Hobby Lobby. Now, I know, ladies, that's probably your dream place to work, right? Hobby Lobby. We go there just for the fun of it. Well, after about 3 or 4 days of going there just for the fun of it, you'd probably like to get a paycheck for going there every day. You know, maybe you'll work there so much that when you get married, you'll look and say, I don't ever want to see Hobby Lobby again, and your husband will say, praise God. Probably not, okay. She's confident that it's not. But you think about this, why do you work, Emily? Hey, I want a paycheck, right? And we ought to work, and we ought to strive to get that paycheck, and we ought to do a good job, and we ought to look forward to that paycheck. You look forward to it. You're waiting for that. Job says that, Leviticus 19 and verse 13. Leviticus 19 and verse 13. The Bible says here, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Now, often in Bible times, they paid people by the day, sometimes by the hour, and you could go through the scriptures and find people that got paid by the year, by the month, by the day, and by the hour. And so you look at that, whatever the contracted agreement is, don't let the wages sit with you longer than that. Say, well, I fell upon hard time and I can't pay. If you made the agreement, you need to pay. You know what? The guy that did the work for you has bills to pay too. And I think that this probably happens more than anywhere with construction, and maybe mechanics, but mechanics, they have a little something more to hold over your head. You don't get the keys to the car back until you pay the bill. But with construction, people come in, the work's done. Oh, I love it. It's so good. Well, I don't have the money right now. That's wrong. The Bible refers to it here as sin. It is not supposed to happen. It's written in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 24, 15. Deuteronomy 24, 15. If you've promised someone and you know that that payday is coming up, then you should have the money to make that payment, and that money should be set aside as in a budget. It is set aside. It's not touchable for anything else. You know, and the same thing. Guess what? The end of the month, somebody has provided to you water all month long. You made the promise to what? Pay, right? Someone provided electricity to you. I'll tell you what, the church, not so much now, but a while back, April, about that time when the government can turn off the electricity. Isn't it terrible? They can't turn it off all winter long. And so people, all winter long, knowing that they can't turn their electric bill off, or their electricity off, they don't pay their bill. And I get phone calls here at the church, and those phone calls come in, and people say, boy, they're going to turn my electricity off tomorrow if I don't come up with money. I said, well, how much do you owe? $1,100. How do you owe $1,100? Well, honestly, because I haven't paid the bill for 8 months. Or 7 months. Well, what happened? They were dishonest. They were using it every month. They kept the wages of the person that was hired. The people are hired to produce electricity for you. You use it and then keep the wages. What does God say about that? It's wrong. And if it's wrong, it's sin. So Deuteronomy 24 and verse 15. The Bible says, at his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be, what? Sin unto thee. So this person, when you don't pay them, look, they have bills to pay too. Does everybody have bills? Yeah, I think most everybody has bills, right? Guess what? You want paid so you can pay your bills. They need paid so they can pay their bills. And it is a chain. And if somebody messes up in that chain, it affects everybody down the line. And oh, how we need to watch and be honest in our dealings. James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5. You know what? This is practical Christianity right here. It is, you know, God does not want people to only, yes, we are to read our Bibles, we are to pray, we are to walk with God, but part of walking with God is living the Christian life in every detail, every part of it. James 5, 1 through 4, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl. Oh, that's pretty bad. For your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Look at verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. The man that you owe money to and didn't pay, he's crying. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And what does Malachi say? The Lord shall come in swift judgment against those that oppress the hireling. We pay our bills. We do what we're supposed to do. No excuses. So, well, mine's not an excuse, it's a reason. Everybody falls on hard times. Everybody falls on hard times. Okay, probably everybody has been that is in here has sometime or another, I don't know, has everybody had to go without a meal due to lack of finances? How many of you have had to go without a meal due to lack of finances? Okay, some of you, no, I guess most not. Most not. You know what? There was a time where everything just fell apart. We ate cornbread for 10 days due to lack of finances. And I'll tell you what, you can make cornbread every way under the sun. You can have cornmeal mush, and then you turn around and refry the cornmeal. And all of these things. And guess what? The kids have very fond memories of that time. And often they say, can we have some fried cornmeal mush? And you know what we say? There's no food value in that. Well, but we ate it. Yeah, we ate it because we had to. It was filler. But there's really not a lot of food value in it. Okay, was it terrible? No. We had our bellies were happy. Put a little syrup on that. Now it's even more poisonous. Empty filler with sugar on it. Yeah, that's good. But here we have people that have money and they're refusing to pay somebody. Look, because they can. Think about that. Because they can. They have the better lawyers. They have more ability to fight the battle in court. And God says, I hear the poor man as he's crying. I hear the poor man. We'll finish with Ephesians 6, 9. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. In the Word of God, it's just so detailed, isn't it? It touches every area of our life, and we would do well to pay attention to absolutely all of it. Ephesians 6 and verse 9 says this, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening. knowing that your master also is in heaven, capital M on that master, neither is there respect of persons with him. So you masters, you pay your bills, you forbear threatening. How many of you have ever worked for somebody and they threatened to either garnish your wages or cut your wages or something because of something? It happens, right? So, yeah, a lot of people. Others not so much. Well, look, he says, look, forbear threatenings. Don't break your agreements. Don't break your contracts. You make a contract, you go with the contract. If the person doesn't do their job, there's a whole other story there. That's the other side of the coin where Christians ought to be honest. A day's work for a day's wage. But God says, look, you've got a master, capital M, in heaven, and he's watching all of your dealings. And God says in Malachi, he will come against them with judgment. He will swiftly stand against them. How many of you believe in the chastisement of the Lord? It's a real thing, isn't it? It's a real thing. And I know we live in a world where people don't even want that mentioned. Don't even want that mentioned. But it's real. And we need to follow through and just do what God wants us to do. And you know what? I think we ought to live for the Lord, and it ought to be the absolute love and desire of our life. It should not be, oh, I've got to. It is, I represent Jesus Christ. I love him. I want to do right because I love him. Honesty, complete honesty in all of our dealings. Be careful what you say. Be careful about what you promise or don't promise. Be careful that you're not swearing against anything because you're not all powerful. Pay your bills. You've hired people to perform those duties for you. You pay the bills that are due. All of this, just genuine Christian honesty. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us. I ask God that you would work in our hearts. Help us, Father, to just think this through and respond as needed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, stand to your feet, please. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, say, if I come down there, somebody's going to think I was dishonest. No, people aren't worried about what you do. Just do what you're supposed to do. Make the decisions that you're supposed to make. Walk with God and love every minute of it. You write out that check, say, I'm doing this for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a good thing to think every check you write out. Then make sure it doesn't bounce. Oh, basic honesty. I heard about a week, 10 days ago, about a Christian person who blatantly lied. Blatantly. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They said they couldn't do something because they were working, and the truth was they were on vacation. It's just a lie. Oh, how we need to be careful. Praise God for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Praise God that we can confess and forsake our sins and get up and go another day. Father, once again we pray, and we pray for TBT. Lord, even now, children have heard the gospel. I pray that you'd be pricking their hearts about salvation. God, it's a tough world out there. Lord, I see the houses that these kids come out of. Lord, I pray that they would find genuine care and compassion here at this church. God, that you would give each worker the long-suffering and patience. And Father, if it were not for your grace, any one of us could be walking out of any one of those houses. with parents that didn't care and didn't bring the kids to church. I pray also that throughout this week you would convict the hearts of parents, show them their need to bring these children to church. And God, help us to be thoroughly honest. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.